So I really felt kind of compelled today to talk about my baptism. And I was kind of looking back, and actually I've realized over the years that the subject I've spoke on most over the years is baptism, which is good because it means most of us know a lot of baptisms. But when I did the search through my files, like, there's loads of talks in baptism. So we're going to talk about that today. But if you've already been baptized, I don't want you to switch off, because I believe that God's given me something new. I feel like somebody's given me something new as regards to baptism, that it may just be new to me and not be new to you at all. But I want to speak about that today. So keep listening anyway. But no, we're looking forward to baptizing these guys next week. We've got Jonathan Barclay. He's been a good friend of ours for a few years now. He's getting baptized. And the lovely Ellie is getting baptized. And Caitlin and Iona Allen, who are the two sisters that joined us a few months ago, they are getting baptized as well. So not only are we baptizing people, we're baptizing young people. Lovely. Good, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's good. So not that we have anything against old people. Sorry, guys. Or even middle-aged people. But we do love young people. We love young people coming along. So, but you know, there's a number of ideas about what baptism is. And often our notion and our ideas of baptism are based around our upbringing, our church background, or just our personal experience in life. For many, their experience of baptism would be the christening of a child, which is a common practice in Scotland, particularly the Church of Scotland. That's where parents choose to present a child to God. The child is sprinkled with water and then baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. My suggestion would be that that's not what the Bible tells us that baptism is. And I've no objection to children being presented to God even sprinkled with water. We do a similar thing here, we call it dedication. But the difference is that baptism is something that a person chooses to do. And in the case of when we christen children or we dedicate our children, is that something that we choose to do as parents? It's not what the child chooses to do. So that's actually a commitment made by a parent, not a commitment by a child. And baptism is something that you commit to do, like knowingly and willingly. So it's not that christening or dedication is a bad thing. It's like, well, I'd say the good things, you know, present your children before God and committing to teach your children or your child and raise them in the ways of God can only be a good thing, yeah? So in agreement with that, but when I'm talking about baptism today, that's not what I'm talking about, okay? But the reason we baptize people, and why we baptize people in Falkirk Vineyard, first of all, is because it is part of who we are. It's part of why we exist. And that is because it's part, or Jesus talks about baptism in his Great Commission. That's what Jesus gave us, this Great Commission, just before his ascension to heaven. And the Great Commission of Jesus is foundational to what we do, to how we serve, and how we function as individual believers, but also as a church. Matthew 28 and 19, Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit." So, first of all, what that says to me is that this is a command that Jesus has given us. It's something that we should be doing. I remember we'd gone... Carry on?
Aye.
We went through a time where I think we had gone well over a year, maybe 18 months, and we hadn't baptized anybody. And the church, you were around, and you remember, I was really burdened by that. I mean, I was like guilt-ridden. Because I thought, if we're not baptizing people, like, the church isn't growing. Can we really call ourselves a church? That was in my mind, because Jesus was so clear that baptism is something that we should be doing. It's a command, we have to be doing it. And if we aren't seeing people being baptized, we have to ask ourselves why and make a change. So So this is commanded by Jesus. He commanded us to baptize people. And because of this command, we will baptize people. We will always be looking ahead to see who is going to get baptized. And because of this command, we plan to baptize many people in this church. And my dream is... Sorry, guys. I'm going to go without because I don't want to affect the recording. Is that okay? I'll just talk really loud. Okay. So, thanks. That's Georgia. So my dream is that we're going to be baptizing a lot of people all the time. And the reason for that is that baptism is a sign that people are finding Jesus, that people are being saved, that salvation is in the house. Yeah? Baptism is evidence of salvation. And if we are going to see people get saved in numbers and come to Jesus, then we are going to have to be baptizing a lot of people a lot of the time, yeah? So baptism is a practice that should be happening a lot because we want to see people being saved. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right, so baptism is a result or a condition or a result of salvation. And I just want people to be saved, to know Jesus, and then get baptized. And for some reason, I feel like the church, I'm talking kind of generally in the church and kind of evangelical church circles, there's a mindset that's crept in over the years that baptism is somehow an optional thing for a follower of Jesus. Mm-hmm. That you can be saved, but you don't need to get baptized. And I'm not sure why that is. But we've seen many of the baptisms we've done here at Falkirk Vineyard where people have committed their life to Jesus and said yes to Jesus, to becoming a Christian, but their baptism has taken place a number of years after their salvation. Now the upside to that is that we offer the joy of baptizing these amazing people who have come to be our friends and to experience that moment with them. And we thank God for that. And we will continue to baptize people in that context. But I believe that as I read about baptism in the New Testament, it's fundamentally intended for new believers. You know, people were coming to the apostles in the book of Acts. They were giving life to Jesus and they were being baptized pretty much immediately. And I believe that's what God is calling us to do. So if you've come to our church and you've known Jesus for a number of years and you're not baptized, we'd love to baptize you. Yeah. We're not ruling that out. But my dream is that we see people coming to Jesus, giving their lives to him, and then we baptize them quickly. Yeah?
Yeah.
Because that is the pattern in the New Testament. That is what was happening. The baptism might seem unusual in our culture. It is a weird thing, but to be honest, putting people in water and out of water. But it's actually a practice that goes back thousands of years. There is evidence that baptism wasn't something, or that practice of baptism, putting people in water, out of water, wasn't something that originated in the church. It was actually a cultural thing. That would mark a change in direction in someone's life or a change in their allegiance from being part of one community or one group of people or one leader to another. And it was a public statement. It said, "My old allegiances and ways of being have now changed." Baptism would symbolize that that what a person was in the past has been washed away, and there's now a blank canvas, a clean canvas, on which new allegiances can be painted. So in the Gospels, when we read about John the Baptist baptizing people, this would have been an unusual thing for people to see. They were seeing a version of baptism in some way in that culture. But what was unusual about John the Baptist's baptism was his call to his listeners, the reason he was baptizing them. Because John the Baptist said to people, repent of your sins, turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This was different because this was an explicit call for people to change the direction of their lives. Not just moving from an allegiance from one organization or one group to another. It was actually about turning the full direction of your life around into another way. It was about turning away from their own way of loving towards God's way of loving. And that's what the word repent means. The word repent means to turn around, to change direction. John was challenging people to change their allegiances from the kingdoms of this world towards the kingdom of God. And when you say yes to Jesus and you give your life to Jesus, that's exactly what you're doing. You're turning your practices, your allegiances away from the ways of the world and entirely around towards the ways of God. And the way that he told them to demonstrate this, to show that they had changed, that they had repented and turned away from an old life to a new life, was by baptism. That's how John was showing them how to express and demonstrate that. This baptism was like the washing away of past sins, of past life, so that a new way of loving could begin. And the idea of the kingdom of God being near meant that these people were being baptized in anticipation that God was going to do something once and for all about their sin and about the oppression that they were under. But then one day, Jesus turned up at one of John the Baptist's baptismal services. And John pointed at Jesus and told the crowd, this is the Messiah. This is the one that we've been waiting for. He's the one who's going to take away the sins of the world. But then something unusual happened. Jesus asked John to baptize him. Now John refused at first because Jesus, in John's context, had nothing to be baptized for. He was the Son of God. He didn't need sin taken out of his life because there was no sin in his life. Baptism was for sinners. Baptism wasn't for the Son of God. That was John's mindset. But Jesus insisted. And John didn't baptize him. But Jesus insisted because Jesus' mission was to identify with humanity. Even in our sinfulness, even in our brokenness, even in our turning away from God, Jesus' mission was to identify himself with us, with God's created humanity, in order to save them. See, in being baptized, Jesus was saying he was human. He was human like us, as well as being the Son of God. But also he was declaring that he was the one sent by God to deal with all our sin. And when we look at Jesus' baptism, it was like a picture or a prophecy of his death and resurrection. And for us, that's what baptism has really come to symbolize, isn't it? The burying of our old life and being raised up into new life. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He gave his life. He was raised again in order that we could get rid of our old sinful past and be made new and better. And he would go on to take our sins upon himself and death, be buried, and rise again victorious over sin and death. Amen?
Amen.
It's good, isn't it? It's good. That's exactly what happened. So after his resurrection, Jesus told his disciples to go out and share the good news of the kingdom of God and invite people to repent and to change their allegiance to him, to make him their king, to receive forgiveness of sin and to enter a new way of life empowered by the Holy Spirit. And he told them that they were to baptize people who made this change as a marker point, as a public proclamation that Jesus is now their king, that the old way of life is gone and the new way of life had begun. And Jesus' followers did just that. And we are still doing that today. All through through the book of Acts, we find people believing the good news of Jesus and being baptized. They believed the good news of Jesus and they were baptized. And just as Jesus in his baptism had identified with humanity, even broken, sinful humanity, and in his baptism he committed to bear our sins on himself, in the same way, we, when we are baptized, are now saying that we identify with Jesus. If Jesus was willing to identify himself with us, how much more should we be willing to identify ourselves with him? Baptism is a declaration that we are a new kind of people, that we have changed. Apostle Paul in Romans 6 describes it like this. He said, when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ is raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Okay? We get this? So it's old life gone, new life. And in Colossians 2, Paul also said, for you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins, because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Now, this is what really stood out to me as I read these verses. And I said, I've taught baptism many, many times, and I know these verses really well. But something popped out to me as I was looking at this recently, and I believe it's what God wants me to share with you today. In these verses, Paul says that we are buried with Christ by baptism. We are buried with Christ by baptism. He said we are with Christ. He didn't say we are buried for Christ by baptism. He said we're buried with Christ. And it kind of got me to thinking, what does it mean to be with Christ? And I think it's like, we can see that there are many people who are for Christ. They are, so if you look at the teaching of Jesus, there are many people who maybe are not religious or don't have a relationship with Jesus, but would be for his teaching. Most social action is kind of directed or rooted somewhere in Jesus' teaching. There'll be a crossover. So you can be for something, but what does it mean to be with something? The analogy that I kind of came up with is a support a football team. Now, I know there's Manchester United fans in here today, so I'm not going to push this too hard. But I support a team called Liverpool, who are doing rather well with them. But when I'm watching them, I'm cheering them on. In fact, last week I was watching the Scotland game. Anyone watched the Scotland game last Monday? Amazing. Never seen Scotland play so well. But I'm shouting and yelling, and I'm telling the guys what to do, and I'm telling them what not to do. I'm being encouraging, and I'm being critical, all at the same time, shouting on. Because I am for Scotland when they're playing. I am for Liverpool when they're playing. Or, if you're watching a boxing match, then you could be two boxers here, you could be cheering one on, hoping that he's going to win, and saying, whatever you shout at a boxing match, I don't know, knock him down, hit him hard, whatever you do. But in that moment, whether you're watching a football team or a boxing match, whatever, you can be for that team, but you're not with them. Because if you're with the boxer, then you're going to be in the ring ducking at punches and fighting for your life. You'd be fighting with him side by side. But when you're a spectator, you are for him. But you're not subject to to whom he's subject to. You know, and unlike, you know, the case of two teams competing at a football stadium with crowds cheering for one side or the other, it's done from the safety and security of your seat in the stadium, or in my case, my sofa. I mean, go back one step further, they're not even in the same place. And that's a place of safety, that's a place where it's easy to be for something because you're not the thick of it, you're not the pitch, you're not the ring, you're not in the arena. And that's why I think that we can say that there are many people who are for Christ, but are there as many who are with him? Do we just merely say, in this corrupt, broken world, we need Jesus, we need more morality, we need more of his teaching to come to the fore? Or maybe it's like, religion's good, Christianity's good, but I don't want to be involved in it. But if we're going to say that we are with Christ, then that means that we have to be in the battlefield with him. Not just cheering on from the sidelines or from our seats, but standing beside him, fighting with him for victory, fighting with him for this town, this community, for the people we live with and work with and love and don't love even. And it might be that we get some knocks and we get some injuries along the way. And I think that's what baptism is declaring. Is it's more than just saying, this is something I believe, this is something I am for. It's saying, no, this is someone and something I am with. I am in this. Romans 6, Paul says this, since we have been united with Christ in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. If we want to be raised to life with new Jesus, we have to be united with him in his death. And that's what baptism symbolizes. We are with him. We die with him in our old life, and we're raised to life with him in this new life. In baptism, we are buried with Christ through our pledge of commitment to him. We are not spectators who cheer Jesus on, but we are united with him and with God because in baptism we are identifying ourselves publicly with Christ. Okay, are you with me? So next Sunday, those who are being baptized will be making their public confession of faith in and allegiance to what Jesus has done for them, and they will be stating that not only are we for this amazing teaching and this amazing example, we are with him. We are with him. And as they go under the water, it will symbolize their old way of life being done away with, and the washing away of their sins, because that's what saying yes to Jesus does. Now, of course, it's not the water. There's nothing magical about the water. The water is going to be coming out of taps in this building. It's just water. It's not the water, it's what it symbolizes. But instead of being baptized, they're going to be demonstrating their trust that Jesus has done all that is required to forgive them fully and completely. And when they rise again out of the water, it symbolizes the rising again to new life that Jesus' resurrection has accomplished for those who believe in him. And just at the time when Jesus was baptized, just as the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus and he felt the pleasure of the Father and his obedience, so these guys who are being baptized next week will receive the Holy Spirit. We are asking God for that, and they will experience the Father's pleasure as they're obedient to the commands of Jesus and declaring that not only am I for him, I am with him. Amen.
Amen.
You see, baptism can become a culture or a tradition, or it can feel like it's a rite of passage. But I never want that to be the case. I want it to mean what we've just been speaking about. You know, we've fought hard not to have used culture or tradition to be the basis for the things we do in our church. We've always fought against that. If something looks like it's becoming a routine or a practice, we've deliberately stopped or changed it so we don't get in a rut of making that important. Because we want to keep the main thing, don't we?
Yeah.
Right? Jesus is the main thing. And as soon as something else takes precedence over Jesus,
yeah,
we have to stop that practice or change it. I don't want us to be a church that does things because that's what we've always done. Because following Jesus, giving our lives to Jesus, being baptized isn't about what we feel or what we think is right. It's not about our opinions. It's not about what is perceived to be the right thing to do, whether that's through expectation from others or because of tradition. The reasoning behind anything we do or don't do has to and will always be based on what we read in God's word. So when I'm saying things like I believe that baptism is something that's for new believers, I'm not saying that as a criticism of people who have waited longer to get baptized. All I'm doing is saying that's what I see in the word of God. And if that's the case, we have to explore that and say, is this what God wants? Baptism symbolizes the conquering of sin and death by the grace and resurrected life of Jesus. That is what it does. That's what it represents. And the reason that we do baptism is what is commonly known as a full immersion. It's another churchy phrase. People go fully under the water and come up. It's because the word baptism or baptize comes from the Greek word baptizo. That's the easiest Greek translation of a thing. And baptizo means to dip, immerse, or plunge something fully into something else. And it's usually related to water. So we take from that, and that's what God wants us to do. That's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to immerse and plunge people under water and back up. Or it would be called baptism, it would be called something else. And not the time to go through today, but there's loads of the scriptures in the New Testament where it's clear that when people were baptized, they went into water, underwater, and came back up under water. Baptism portrays what happened to us when we became a Christian. We were united to Christ by the Holy Spirit. His death became our death, and we died with him. And in the same instant, his life becomes our new life. And now, because we've said yes to that, we're walking in a newness of life with Christ in us. But all of this is because of God's grace. And so, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, as disciples, whatever we want to describe ourselves, we should be living our lives in the reality of what our baptism represents and symbolizes. It's new life. In other words, we should be walking in newness of life. We should be rendering ourselves to be dead to sin in our old ways and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And this allows us to present ourselves to God as being alive and being like instruments of righteousness, meaning that we are making ourselves available for God to use. Because we're not just for him, we are with him. All because of the grace of God. So, it's question time. I know you love this bit, right? So here's the question today. Are you for Christ? Are you for him? I hope so. I hope so. But the killer question is, are you with Christ? Thank you.
Are you living for him and with him? Are you in the battlefield? Are you in the arena? Are you in the ring? Are you taking the punches? Or are you watching what other people are doing stuff? If you feel that God is saying to you this morning that I want you to move from the spectator area into the arena, then I want to give you the opportunity to say yes to that right now. But let's stand. Let's just do this. Seat in the comfort zone yet. So here we go. There's something about us being with him. I really feel that God is challenging. He's challenged me this past couple of weeks. I've looked at this and I sense that there's a challenge in our hearts over this today. To moving from the seat of watching and spectating in the arena of participation. And guys, let's just be clear that this isn't about guilt. This isn't about I'm not good enough for, this is God loves you. He wants the best for you. Our compulsion to respond to God is born out of and rooted in love. Okay? So I'm going to ask you to come forward, not to make you feel bad about yourself or to show you up, but for you in the same way as you would be baptism, to publicly declare that you are with him. You're moving from a place of being for him, the spectator area, to being with him in the arena. And if you want to do that, I'm just going to ask you to step forward. I'm just going to pray that over you. That this doing things in front of other people, public declaration, is important. The Bible is full of it. And we get shy and all kind of British about it, because we just want to do things in our own quiet space and our own hearts and keep to ourselves. Faith in Jesus isn't private, faith in Jesus is public. There is a personal relationship one-to-one with Jesus, but our evidence, the way we portray our faith in Jesus, is public. So, are you with him? As you all just step forward, and we're just going to pray and thank God for the acknowledgement. Let's go this side here, my left and right. Fantastic. Okay. Okay, guys, so you guys are still in your seats. You are now coming into the arena because you're going to pray for these guys with me. Okay, so I'm going to ask you to do it. Let's go symbolic again. I should just put your hand out. Again, there's nothing magical in this. It's for these guys, they can see that we are with them in this. So, God, I thank you for each person, Lord, here who has stepped forward in the witnesses of others to declare once again their allegiance to you. And God, would you gently and lovingly, Lord, soften their hearts and increase their faith and their boldness, Lord, to do things with you, to move from the place of speaking about to the place of doing.
I ask, Lord, that you would, Lord, where there is a, where there is forgiveness required, Lord, we believe, Lord, that you are ready and willing to forgive. So, Lord, would you just pour your forgiveness over these guys, Lord. If there's anyone, Lord, that feels that they're having to say sorry this morning for shortcomings or, yeah, we don't want to dwell on that, Lord. We know you are God of forgiveness. And I believe, Lord, it's by stepping forward that you're giving your forgiveness in your mind now. And I pray, Lord, that any sense of guilt or unworthiness, Lord, that you would wash that away, because those things are not present in your kingdom. Lord, they are worthy because you are Lord. They are with you because you live there. They are for you because you are for them. And your word says that whoever is for you, no one can be against them. So Lord, fill their hearts, fill them with your spirit. Let this, Lord, be another, just like baptism was, just another marker, another acknowledgement, another declaration, Lord, that they are with you. Past is gone. New life has begun. Just you guys just receive that. Just receive. Just stay in that space. Hear God is speaking to your minds. He's doing something. And yeah, so just keep receiving. If you're a believer in Jesus and you've never been baptized, let me just read you a wee passage. This is how I came to be baptized. Acts 8, famous story of an apostle called Philip, who was speaking to an Ethiopian guy, and he told him about Jesus, and this Ethiopian guy gave his life to Jesus, and Philip was obviously talking to him about baptism. We don't get that detail in the story, but they're going past a lake or a river, and the Ethiopian says to Philip, look, here's water, what's hindering, what's stopping me from being baptized? And Philip said this, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Or when I was younger, the verse of the Bible said, if thou believest, thou mayest. And that's what caused me to be baptized. It was as simple as that. If you know Jesus, if you believe in him and you're committed to him, you don't need to know all about baptism. You just need to know it's another opportunity to say yes. So if you would like to be baptized next week, then why don't you step forward to this side? Let's do it. Let's just start being public now. If you want to do that, and let's just stand at this side. If you're a Christian, if you've been saved, but you've never been baptized, you could be a new Christian, you could be a Christian for years, then it would be an absolute pleasure for us to be part of your story, part of your journey of being obedient to Jesus. So if you want to do that, let's take a step here. Don't be shy, don't be fearful, we'll love you. This is what God wants you to do.